we really took as our theme, blessed. What is that? Blessed. In a text that we have, Genesis 13, from verse 1, and Abraham went up out of Egypt, he and his wife, and all that he had, and Lot with him, into the south. And Abraham was very rich in cattle, in silver and in gold. Can we say that together? And Abraham was very rich in what? Cattle and what? Silver and what? Gold. Let's say that again. And Abraham was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. Let's say it one more time. And Abraham was very rich in cattle. Now, when we talk of Abraham's blessings, this is exactly what the Bible is talking about. In Galatians 3:13, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, or on 3:14, in order that in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham might come to what? The Gentiles, so that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. What it's talking about is that Christ has redeemed us from the curse. A curse is a life of complete deprivation. A curse is a life of total deprivation. So he said, Christ has redeemed us from the life of lack and want to a life of the blessing of Abraham, so that we can receive the promise of the Spirit. What does it mean, the promise of the Spirit? It's the promise that the Spirit of God pronounced through Abraham. When he talked of the Spirit, he's talking about the Holy Spirit. He's talking about the Father. The Father said to Abraham, in thee shall all the nations of the earth be what? Blessed. He said, that promise that God made, the promise of the Spirit, that promise that the Holy Spirit made, the Spirit of God made to Abraham, in thee and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. He said, this is fulfilled here, that Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, the curse that the disobedience to the law brought us, to the blessing of Abraham. So when you talk about the blessing of Abraham, we're talking about material blessings. And this is just one of the many blessings we have in Christ Jesus. This is just one of the many. The material blessing is not just everything. That's just a portion of that. But I want to focus on the material blessings today. But there are other blessings that we have received in our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, as we are saying on Thursday, it is important for the Christian. It is important for you as a Christian. You listen, we are not here for our in our council meeting. We are talking, and we, my God, they were saying 20 years from now, many of us will be here. 50 years from now, many of us won't even be alive. 10 years from now, many of us will be here. If you add 15 years to your life, you may not be working well by that time. We have no time to play games here, brethren. Time for joke is what? Over. We're not here playing games no more. If you are playing games, wake up. You don't have too much time to stay here. Don't have too. I mean, I came to this country almost 15 years ago. It just ran like that. Put another 15 to my age and to your age, see where you are. You don't want to get to that point and then you really realize that your life was just empty. Just, it left nothing useful to anybody to follow. No stories about you to tell. So we're saying on Thursday that every Christian must know. You must know. It's important that you do that. So that you make a success of this Christian life now. Make a success of it. You must know everything that God did for you in Christ Jesus, and be familiar with it and be grounded in it. Those are the things the devil is contesting. He knows outside of Christ, there's nothing to contest, you don't have anything. It is those things that God did for you in Christ, he will contest until you see Jesus. He will contest it. Because he wants to deprive you of them, hinder you from them, confuse you about them, so you do without them. Because there's no other way you get those things except through Christ Jesus. He knows that.
So he can teach you religion, can teach you whatever. He doesn't bother about those things. But when it comes to the things that God, those are the solid stuff that keeps your life going, that God did for you in Christ Jesus, the enemy will contest. Any of them you want to reach, any of them you want to reach, anytime you want to get a revelation, or you're getting a revelation, the Bible says trouble will arise because of the word. He will raise issues. He will try to stop you, discourage you. Whatever he will do, he will try to do that. Because he knows that that's the only way you get this thing, and that's the only way God provided it for you. But if you know it, and you are grounded in it, you can hold fast to that which you have received. Can I hear amen? Amen. You can hold fast to that which you have received. And then in Christ Jesus, we have inheritance. And the Bible described the inheritance for us. It described it so clearly. He said, I think it was the book of Philippians. He said, thanks be to God who has counted us worthy to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in Christ, in the beloved. Then he began to name them, in whom we have forgiveness of sins, in whom we have redemption, in whom we have deliverance. He began to name the inheritance, the blessings. It's a blessing to be forgiven. David said, blessed is the man whose sins are what? It's a blessing to be forgiven. If God holds my sin, I'm finished. It's a blessing to be forgiven. David began to thank God. Say, who forgiveth my iniquities and healeth all my diseases and what again? Redeem my life from destruction. Those are the blessings. It's all part of it. You have the privilege and the blessing of having access to God and his power. And his love for you. That if everybody rejects you in this world, there is somebody whose hand is outstretched there for you, and that's God your Father. There's somewhere you can run to with your tears, with your debt, with your sin, with your weakness, with your mess, and you know that I'm accepted, I am welcome, and I'm not going to be killed, I am going to be helped out. It's a privilege to know such things. So that when the chips are down, when this thing hits you, and then the whole world is against you, oh boy, you have somewhere to go to and you have comfort. Jesus is saying, come unto me, all you that are what? Yes, I'll give you rest. I won't bother you with this thing. It's part of the blessing to know things like that. So that instead of being overwhelmed by circumstances, you go to the feet of Jesus and dump the thing there. And then you have rest unto your soul. Do you understand me? If you understand me, say amen. Yes, so those are the part of the blessings, a lot of it, that we have, that we shall be called the sons of God. Somebody said, what manner of love is what? Is this, that we shall be called sons of God. That's a blessing. That we are no more children of the devil, we are children of God. That's a blessing. That's a blessing. That's a blessing. And we got this because of what Jesus did for us. That's a blessing. And then you can go on and on and on. The name, the delegated authority that we have in Christ, that we can use the authority of God on earth. It's a tremendous blessing. We are listening on Wednesday when these young people just did something that surprised me. They said, Pastor, sit down. I sat down and they said, hey, everybody here, if you've been blessed by this man's teaching, come and say it here. And I just sat there and then I was so amazed at the testimonies people were giving. I didn't know any of these things. I had no idea these things were happening here in the lives of people. And then I remember our sister that told us how she was walking home and something hit her, and then something started. You know, there's always a point something starts. Something hit her on the leg, and then from that point, pain began to develop until it was so excruciating that she couldn't even climb stairs anymore. And they said, you know, it was something that she really battled and battled. And the more she battled it, the more painful it became. He said, Pastor, and I sat down here and you taught on delegated authority. And I said, what? I have this and this thing is troubling me. I have authority, they delegated to me to deal with it. He said, Pastor, I spoke to that thing in the name of Jesus. Instantly stop. He said, now 3 weeks he hasn't come back and he's not coming back. That's a blessing that you have this, that privilege, that God gave you that privilege to hand over to you divine authority in the name of Jesus and say, use it. It's greater than gold. Can I hear amen? So we have all this type of blessings, inheritance in the kingdom, that we are members of the family of his household. We are members of the family of God. It's a blessing. Because that changes every dynamic of your spiritual identity. So you're not going to be bothered about your grandfather. You are not hearing me. Say, my grandfather used to be a juju man. No, your father is God. My own grandfather, they told me that he used to be so powerful. My own grandfather, not my father. My own grandfather, he used to be so powerful in making rain. They say that if it didn't rain, they will call he and his family. Say they'll make rain. And once they make rain, they come to the market to dance because they have done the impossible. And then he had one big stone where he used to live that his son didn't even want to touch. They say he used to use it to make rain. And then they would take all manner of titles. When they go to war with neighboring village, if you capture something, somebody, or cut his, you use the snake to dance in the market. We had two parents that did all of that. And they were really, really, really into all manner of occultic something. That's all they knew at the time. And my father, they were going to kill my father because he didn't walk on time. So they said, branded him an evil child. So the mother carried him and took off. Said, I'm not killing my son. He took off. You know, took off to their home. That's where my father came from. And then when they decided, okay, he's an evil, the Christians came. So they said, let's hand him over to these people that have no feet. You know what they mean, they have no feet? They were wearing shoes. So they decided that these people must be spirit, that they don't have any feet. So they took my father and handed him over to these people so that he would follow these evil spirit people and leave them alone. That's how the man went to secondary school, following them. Became a pastor finally. His father became a catechist and they trained him to become a pastor because he followed the so-called evil people. So my identity is not that. My identity is what? Not that. My identity is God is my father and I'm a member of the family of God. That's why we are called sons of God. So you don't come to me and say, bro, let's do deliverance. Rubbish, get out. I don't need that. The day I came to Christ, I had a new father. I have a new identity. It is in Christ I live, I move, I have my being. My being is not in my grandfather, for God's sake. My being is not found there. If you know, you want to know who I am, my being, who I am, my identity is found in Christ. And in Christ, God is my father. And when I pray, I say, my father. In what? I don't say, call my grandfather. No. No. I don't have that lineage. So I don't need your deliverance. Besides, part of my inheritance is that I've been delivered from powers of what? Hell. All of it. Do you know that if Christ didn't deliver us, the work of the cross was incomplete? Because he announced it when he came. He said, I came to announce deliverance to the captives. Recovering of sight to the blind. And when he finished, he said, I've done the job. It is what? Finished. How many of us are delivered? Can you put your hand down? I told my children, we're in Lagos, you know, all this deliverance. I said, anybody comes to you and says, come for deliverance, tell them to get out. That your father says they should what? Get out, that they're ignorant. That you'll be set free on the cross, you don't need another one. You have only one Savior, he did the job very well. And that if the Son shall set you free, you are free indeed. The Son has set me free, and I'm free indeed. I don't need your deliverance, get out of here. So these are the packages of the blessings. A lot of them can go on talking about them, that we have talked about the life, eternal life he gave us. I was talking about it, that nobody teaches these things in the body of Christ. We're teaching the law, teaching everything. But the Bible tells us that the life that God gave us is in Christ. And nobody studies to know what that life is and how it is lived. And so we are struggling to live the life of the law. We line up what we are supposed to do as Christians. And it sounds religious. And it convinces you. Sometimes you cry. It's all emotion. After 1 week, we forget all of that. And go back to what you used to do. Because you're not latching onto what works. What works is faith in Christ. Because God sent you Jesus. Because your life is useless. And God says, I will take away the old man crucified. So you have the what? The new man. And then the life in this new man is Christ Jesus. The Bible says, Christ, who is your life? That's your life. That's your life. And if it's your life, then you will die and let your life live. That's what Paul said. I don't struggle to live. I let Jesus live. And he entered into his rest. You find your life flowing effortlessly. Where you used to be angry, because now it's Jesus, he can handle it with his love. Did you get what I'm saying? Thank you. You can go and listen to that. It's a little bit detailed in that detail. So those are the blessings we have. But today we're talking about the blessing of Abraham, the blessing of material things. Abraham was rich in cattle, rich in gold, rich in what again? Silver. So God intends part of the blessing is that we should prosper in the material things. And it is not a sin to prosper in the material things, because Abraham, our father, prospered. Jacob, who was that? Isaac prospered. Who else prospered? Jacob prospered. And then he talked about Job was the richest man in the continent. But that didn't stop him from being somebody that had a relationship with God. So we should prosper in the things that we do, because it's a covenant blessing. You've been empowered to prosper. Can you tell somebody what I said? I didn't hear you. You've been empowered to prosper. Say it one more time. Because when Christ delivered us from the curse of the law, he empowered us to prosper. Understand what God does in our life is to empower you for something. It's to empower you for something. So we've been empowered to prosper. All of us have been empowered to prosper. But the thing that happened, we must learn a lesson from the prodigal son. You know, the prodigal son was blessed. Am I right? He was thoroughly blessed, living in his father's house. But one day he decided to do things his way. So he went to his father and said, I want to check out. Now I've been following you since I stayed there. Now I think I have a brighter idea what I want to do. And the father said, I can't stop it. Because he said, God can't force you. My father said, you want to go? Okay. So the man took his stuff and left. And then finally, he became so poor. He went from riches to rag. And that started by one decision, to do things his own way. Brethren, the Bible says that there's a way that seemeth right, what? In the eyes of men. But the end of it is the way of death. You must be careful not to take the decision of the prodigal son. You must be very careful. Very, very careful. Proverbs 14:12. Proverbs 14:12. There is a way which seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. There's a way. There's a way. There's a way that seems right in the eyes of men. That's a way. It's so tempting. Brethren, look up to me. Let me tell you something. That way is so tempting. That's a dangerous trap the devil sets for everybody. When Peter was talking to Jesus, Jesus said, get thee behind me, what? That was the trap he was setting to Jesus, to do the things in the way that seemed right. Because there's nothing wrong with it. It's right. Totally. There's nothing illegal in it. He said to Peter, you are a dangerous trap for me. Why? Because you are thinking like me. You are thinking like what? It seems right in your eyes. But that's not what God wants me to do. It's a dangerous trap. Gradually, he's taking you away from Bible studies, gradually. It will seem right in your eyes because you have very, oh, wonderful reasons. Fantastic. I'm telling people what I know. This is a dangerous and very, very effective thing the devil does. And you have ready-made reasons. Ready-made. Oh, yeah, you give it and sounds right in the eyes of men. But watch it. Watch your Christianity. After 6 months, you are not what you used to be. You may not know. You may not tell people. But your spirit is gradually what? Because you see, a journey of 1,000 miles starts with a. Yeah. You know, I traveled to Nigeria. Let me confess a sin. You must not tell anybody. So I got to Nigeria and they were talking of Osadebe. He died, I don't know, Osadebe died or whatever, that his son is playing music. So they were talking about him, and then I said, wow, his son. I said, let me even know the type of music the son is playing. So I bought some of his CDs. I came back, I said, let me play this Osadebe CD. It's a song, the song. So I started to play it, and I was playing and dancing. And believe you me, listen to me. After some time, I realized that my spiritual life was going down. I'm not joking. It was going down. And the Lord said to me, you are playing the devil's music. I took the whole CD, went to a dust, garbage thing, and dumped all of it. And went back to what I used to play. And my spirit began to come up. You see, what I'm telling people is absolute truth. You won't see the devil as the devil, but he will come pretending to be sincere. The way that Simeon tried, what? Eyes of man. But did God tell you that? No. You have, you can defend it. You can defend it. And we all have that, all the time. Psalm 1. From verse 1 to 3. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of what? The ungodly. Nor standeth in the way of sinners. Nor sitteth in the seat of discomfort. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law doth he meditate day and night. Verse 3. What will happen? And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. Why? He's not standing in the way of the scornful. He's not listening to things that take him away from what God wants him to do. He's not walking in his own wisdom. He's not walking in his own understanding. The Bible says, lean not unto your own understanding. It is destructive. Brethren, it is. I can't put it any better than this. We are warned not to. He said, the wisdom of man will come to nothing. But that's what the devil will present to you. And he prepared to give you benefits out of it. But he knows there's one benefit you are going to be losing. And he's not a fool. Before long, you find you are more cranky than you used to be. The New Testament version of this is 3 John 2. Beloved, I pray that in all respects you may prosper and be. I'm using New American Standard Bible. That's what I'm reading today. Because I'm an American. New American Standard Bible. Beloved, I pray that somebody was reading. I mean, they were reading it on television. I loved it. I said, "Wow, this is good. This is very good, very, very good." And they say it was translated directly from Hebrew and Greek, and Aramaic. Yeah, and when I read it, it was superb. So I started reading from it. So, beloved, I pray that in all respects, you may prosper and be in good health, just as your soul what prospers. You know, the good success that God said to Joshua is a success that encompasses everything that God has for you, that will prosper in spirit, soul, and what? And body. Spirit, soul, and body. It prosper in everything, not in one aspect of it. But he says, so I pray that in all respects you may prosper and be in good health, just as your soul prospers. So if your soul is prospering by the word of God, then you are able to prosper in everything. And that's why the Bible says wisdom is the principal thing. When you have wisdom, it will give you promotion and put an ornament of what? Is it gold or your head? Praise the Lord. So look at Acts chapter 20 verse 32. And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you
what? The inheritance among all those who are sanctified. He's saying that through the word of God, through the word of his grace, you are able to be built up, brethren. And this is so important, because pretty soon I'm going to tell you that if you are not spiritually matured, God won't commit into your hand material things. He won't do that. I'm not saying you won't get money. I'm not saying you won't get, because you can get. It's not God. I'm not saying you won't get money. You can get. After all, there are a lot of millionaires there. But God won't commit his things into you unless you are matured. Who among us here? You know, I have my little kids, my grandkids. Am I going to take my key, Mercedes key, and give to CJ? I say, CJ, drive it home. You know, when my children were growing, I think one of them, I was carrying him one time in the car, and he was begging me, Daddy, let me drive. Please, I can drive. Is it not this thing you are doing? Meanwhile, his leg will not reach the... Yeah. And he didn't know that there were other things that I was doing that is keeping us safe. So he was begging me, Daddy, let me, I can drive. I looked at his leg. Say, my God. There was no way I would commit something that valuable to him, because it would kill him. You know God won't do that. So that's why he's saying to us, he said, I commend you to God and the word of his grace, which is able to build you up, and to give you the inheritance among those who are sanctified. It is through the wisdom of God, through the word of God, it is through the word of his grace, church, that you can access all the blessings of God. I'm saying it again. Jesus is the word made flesh. It is through him. It is through the knowledge of Christ. It is through the knowledge of Jesus. It is through the knowledge of Jesus that you can access all the blessings of God. It is not through the knowledge of the law. It is not through the knowledge of methods. It's all useless. Paul said all of them is shit, dunk, when compared to the excellency of what? The knowledge of Jesus Christ. Brethren, it is through the knowledge of Christ, the word of his grace, that reveals his mercy to you, that reveals his grace to you, that shows you the work of God's grace in your life. I was saying it on Thursday, that grace is the manifestation of the hand of God on your life based on what Jesus did. That's what grace is. The manifestation of divine hand in your life because of Jesus. Praise the Lord. And you will not attain Christian maturity unless you know Christ. Believe you can have titles, senior pastor, senior bishop, that won't bring you maturity. What brings you maturity in Christianity is that you know Christ Jesus. You will not be matured unless you know him. You are not going to be. You'll be a baby, vulnerable, because you don't know in whom you have believed, and your faith will be so small. Your love will also be small. So when we come to know Christ and begin to walk in that knowledge that is the truth, then we are not walking in the way that seemeth right in the eyes of men, but the end thereof is destruction. Can I hear amen? So, for us to really enjoy all these blessings, including the blessings of Abraham and all of it, we have to be people who are dedicated to knowing who Jesus Christ is. Because only those who know their God shall be what? Strong and do, including financial exploits. For instance, look at some of the wisdom of men. 1 Timothy 3 says, 1 Timothy 3 says, not a novice, let being lifted up with pride, he fall into condemnation of what? The devil. We're saying God does not commit things into the hand of novices. A novice is a baby, immature, totally immature. God will not commit anything into his hand because he's a baby. He said his heart will be lifted up in pride, and then he will fall into the temptation of Satan. Do you know that it is more difficult to handle success than to handle failure? When you succeed, in fact, when Pastor Kumuyi was saying this in my early years as a Christian. There are a couple of things that man said I didn't understand, but I did understand later. One of them, he was teaching us that people lose blessings looking down on their pastor. Ask my wife. I didn't understand it. He said, I stopped my leaders coming to my house because they started to be proud. He said they were losing blessings. I didn't understand it. Say, how can you stop your leaders coming to your house? In fact, I murmured against it. But when I grew up, I realized it was right. You know why people couldn't benefit from Christ? They called him carpenter. They say, you are a carpenter and son of Joseph. We know your brothers here. We know your sisters here. And the Bible says he couldn't heal them. Praise the Lord. And so you have to grow and not be a baby before God can commit things into your hand. So when Kumi was saying that again, I didn't understand. I really didn't understand. How can you not commit things into the hand of people who have always come to church? He said, you need to grow spiritually before God can trust you with material things. And that's a fact. So unless we feed on Christ, that's the manner. That's the manner. You're not going to grow. You're not going to grow, brother. You're not going to grow. You know, we're talking. Look, I wish God would release me to share some testimonies with you people. Do you see this thing they call money? It's the cheapest thing God gives to people. One time in one of the years of my life, my wife went to God and said, he said, God, this man has treated me so well. He was praying. He said, God, bless him. Really want you to give him money. My wife. And then somebody came to my house and said, God will show you money. And brethren, it wasn't long. That's why I saw that material blessings is very cheap to supply. Very cheap. You don't have to sweat for it. Before long, I will have half a million in my house, cash. Not once, I mean several. I will carry half a million, cash. I didn't sweat for it. I'm like, is this magic or what? But God said to me, I will show you money. Because I'm the one that gave it you power to make wealth. I'm the one, if I touch it, it blossoms for you. And so the first thing I did was to change my wife's wardrobe. And when I changed my wife's wardrobe, her steps changed too. Right? Yeah. He told me, he said, my steps changed. And they come to my house, you see all manner of stuff. Oh my, because I had the money. A lot of money. But one thing that happened was that I stopped all the things I was doing. The more the money was coming, the more I was facing the source of the money instead of facing the giver of the money. You see what happened to me? The more it was coming, the more I was facing the source instead of what? The giver. Because now I will sit in my office in a lorry, cross my leg, and be giving contract to people. And my class changed. I was dealing with emirs, not people like you. Dealing with emirs. Yeah. And then they began to pray for me that God would bring me out of that rot. It became a rot. God wanted to show me, really, that you are not mature to handle something. But I didn't get the lesson he was in. You are not mature to handle this. If I give it to you, you will pursue it. You won't pursue me again. Did anybody learn anything here? And then, you know, that's when I told my wife, I said, this tithe, they say we should pay safe. I said, how are we going to be paying 15% again now? Did the Bible say 10%? Let's reduce the thing. Why? Because the money has become big. When I didn't have, I was paying. Now it became big. I was telling my wife, I said, where did we even read 15%? How did we even come to this 15% we are giving? Eh? So we are going to be giving 10 now. Eh? Ah, I can't give all this tithe. You carry millions. When you calculate the thing, it's a lot of money. So we removed some. And when I removed some, walking in the way that Simet, right, everything went from high, like everything, broken, everything. Praise the Lord. Galatians 4:1. Now I say, as long as the heir is a child, as long as the heir is what? A child. He does not differ at all from a slave, although he is the owner of everything. See, even though they have been empowered, you are the owner of everything, as long as you are a spiritual baby, you don't differ at all from a slave, although you are the owner of everything. Verse 2. But he's under guardians and managers until the date set by the father. So also we, while we were children, we are held in bondage under the elemental things of this world. He said, if you are a spiritual babe, even though all these things belong to you, but God may not release them to you, he put you under tutors. Under tutors will be helping you. Because you're not mature to have it. You're not mature to have it. How can you have it? If supposing God gave it to you. You know, when God brought me back to my senses, he started to teach me that those things, that money is not God. It was a lesson I had to learn. And he started by making me give things beyond what I had. Now, I remember one day we were going to church. I had only, can you imagine somebody who was having millions? All I had was 50 naira. And the Lord said, take it to church and give it to somebody. I said, that's all I have. He said, I'm your sufficiency, not the money. Teaching you one lesson. To depend on me, not what you have. He said, take it, because I'm not dead. I'll still supply. So take it. So I took it grudgingly. And immediately I got to church, clearly he said, that's the brother you're giving it to. Because I thought maybe he will forget it, so I will go back with it. Immediately I stepped in. What I'm telling you is gospel truth. Immediately I said, see that brother there? I say, give it to him. So I went, and he was praying, and I stood beside him, deciding whether to walk away or to say he's praying. Lord, he's not praying. So finally I tapped him and gave it to him. And then the brother after service came to me. He said, do you know that's the exact amount I've been seeking God to provide for me? He followed us home, me and my wife. He knelt in my living room, blessing us. The thing touched us. It touched him so much, the man refused to go home. Walk with us home, in my living room. Ask her. This boy knelt down, started praying. He said, I don't, my, no father, no mother, nothing. He said, I seek God, please. He said, if I don't have this money, I won't go to school again. That's all I needed. Praise the Lord. See, if you don't mature, God can use you in things like that. I was having my shower, and the Lord said to me, in your council meeting, you are talking about the missionary you are increasing this money to. You gave him the church gives me a certain amount. He said, you increase it more now. I said, really? He said, that's all he has for he and the wife. I said, you people should increase it more. If you trust me, you should give him more. So he and the wife will eat. See, the money you send them is all they need. That's all they get. They have no other source. So you should increase it. You need to be matured enough to know God enough to be able to release things when God says release it. Otherwise, you'll be fighting with him. And God says, I will not struggle with a man. Amen? Then the other thing is, when you are proud, you will reject the grace of God, reject the mercy of God, and we think it is your goodness that got you the thing. And yet, this is what God said to Israel. He says, I don't want you to go and say, my hand has what? Provided this for me. So that's why I first of all made you hungry. So that you know, I don't want you, when you are eating now, you are full, you say, my hand has given me all the, no, it is the hand of God. Some tap your neighbor and say, it is the hand of God. It is the hand of God, because it is the hand of God that's working for you because of what Jesus did on the cross. So you can't eat and say, my hand is because I'm a good person. It's because it is good to be good. The Bible teaches that we should live a good life, a morally sound life. But you can't brag before God because of it. Because it is God that makes you good anyway. Amen? So now, proud people reject the grace of God. They want to go by works, no matter what you teach them, because it takes away credit from him. It takes away total credit from him now, because when you say, it's not what I do, it's what Christ Jesus did, it hurts their ego. It really hurts their ego. So they still want to go to God and prove, well, God, check me out. You know, after all, I'm not as bad as this brother. Mercy and grace takes away credit from us and puts it on Christ Jesus. And that is worship. When you give it all to Jesus, like Obi would say, Obi Chife would say, give it all for Jesus. But Obi Chife, my wife said, you went to Cambridge University. He said, otherwise, how come you're speaking this wonderful English? So I told him, I said, maybe you went to Umuchu University. So proud people, no, you can't take the credit away from them. You must give them credit now. Come on. Even before God, they still want credit. So one went to God and said, hey, I fast 3 days a week. I do this a week. Credit, God, credit, give me. And the other one came and said, Lord, I don't want the credit. God, the credit goes to you. I want mercy. And Jesus said, sure. That's the one that God looked at. When you reject the message of grace, you are being driven by animalistic pride, demonized pride, where you want God to give you credit for the only thing you can get through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. You won't get it from God because God will not honor you. Amen? I said amen? Galatians 5:4. Can we read it together, everyone? This is New American Standard Bible. All Americans say, no, I don't want to. Okay, so let's read. You have been severed from who? Christ. You are seeking to be justified by law. You have fallen. When you are severed from Christ, brethren, what is remaining? Because you want to take credit for what Jesus has achieved for you. And God says, no. Since you want to take it, let me cut you off from my son. And then let's see how far you go. And when you fall off from grace, what is remaining? Praise the Lord. But that's the choice many people make. It's their choice, not God. Because God says, the word of my grace is what will give you this. You need to believe that I gave it to you in Christ. Free of charge. He paid on the cross. Look, freely you have been given. He says, free. I paid for it. You say, Lord, no. How can I need to achieve it? And God says, no. Then you are cut off. You don't need Jesus now. You are cut off from Christ. And then you don't need grace. Since my mercy is not good for you, you are out. Tell me how you make it. And Jesus is the only way to God. And with that, the only way is close to you. You are cut off from God also. How does anybody live comfortably in that kind of thing? If it's not demonic deceit that it is. That's what the Bible says. Humble yourself under what? Mighty hand of God. So God will lift you up. When you come to the cross, you humble yourself. It's not you. For all have sinned must get into our ears. And we must remember it all the time. None is righteous, no, not one. So that you can embrace mercy. Do you know it takes humility to accept mercy? To embrace mercy that God gives you all the time. All the time. Do you know, before I came here, my throat was almost gone. My wife was touching me, saying, I understand, said, keep it up. I was, man, you have no idea what I'm telling you. My throat was almost there. And I went to the office. I said, Lord, into your mercy, I dropped myself. Your mercy, Lord. Am I talking okay? Huh? You know why while you are singing, I couldn't come? You know, I used to jump around you. You know, I couldn't. Because that throat was almost gone. Almost gone. Why? Because, you know, I exposed myself to cold, and then, now, my wife didn't know this. Don't tell her. Please. I exposed myself to cold, and I was... Then I went to restaurant depot to buy things for her with only T-shirt, and I went into the cold room with ordinary T-shirts, going from place to place. This man was coughing to here before. Now he went into cold room, going from place. And I said, I remember one more thing. I go in there with ordinary T-shirt. I said, Lord, you need to cover me here. God said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. So when I came out from there, the hear tripled. Quadrupled. Because I exposed myself to what I shouldn't expose myself. Praise the Lord. And you see, that teaches us that we should extend grace to everybody. If you want to be a Christian, learn to live by grace. Don't demand payment from people. That's the spirit of Christ. Just forgive them. Forgive yourself. And accept the forgiveness of God. Amen, somebody. I said amen, somebody. Then, if you are lazy, laziness is working in your own understanding, because you wake up, you don't want to get up. No, laziness is in different forms. There are people who are lazy mentally, physically, and lazy in everything. So now a lazy person will always find reason why he will fail. He will give you reason why he will what? Fail. It's again, ready-made reasons. It must be somebody else and not him. So he doesn't take responsibility. A lazy person can be proud. Instead of telling himself the truth and dealing with what is in his trouble, he's pretending. He's just pretending that everything is okay. And yet, nothing is that's laziness. Because he doesn't want to confront what is there. You know, there are some people who naturally don't want to confront challenges. So they want to split it over with the devil, is somebody. That will make that thing go away. Things you don't face, challenges you don't confront and overcome will remain there. So the lazy person will not, if you give him job, he's shoddy. He doesn't improve in being excellent. If he's working for you, you really want to fire him. Because he's so shoddy, he doesn't do a good job. And before you say Jack Robinson, he brings Bible. That's the one that makes me, I don't like this kind of thing. Man, stop, take our Bible out of your laziness now. God knows, oh, God knows in this place. In fact, God knows. In fact, it's the devil that's fighting me. There's no devil. You are causing trouble. Causing trouble. You look, I know there are bosses who are bad, but let me challenge you. If you are efficient, if you are proficient in your job, if they fire you, get another one. God will compensate you immediately. Can I hear amen? Amen. God compensate you immediately. But you don't go there, you don't know the job, you don't want to learn, you are not humble to be taught, and you are not proficient there. And then the people notice you are not too good, and they are looking for a political way to send you out. The Bible says, on whatever your hand finds there to do, deal with all your heart. Am I communicating to you? Let's not sweep these things under the carpet. If you are sweeping the house, sweep. I love Ugo. When Ugo sweeps this church, man, sometimes I like the other to sweep. Because she will sweep it with passion. She will say, Pastor, I need this type of thing to do this thing well. And immediately to get it for her. If you come in here calling her, she will hear. This girl does this thing with all her heart. That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. So that if somebody sees you, you know that you are committed with all your heart. That's somebody who is hardworking, not slothful in business. Praise the Lord. You cannot be slothful and expect God to bless it. No, it's not going to happen. You need to work and put in your best. Can you tap your neighbor and say, put in your best? Oh, no, I didn't hear you. No, I didn't hear you. Do you know there is a traffic police somewhere in Lagos? Everybody will stop to watch him. Eh? The man has improved the way he does this thing. Even people will drive through that route to watch him. Am I lying? Why? Because he's putting a lot in that thing that's attracting crowd. You know, he could do it shoddily, be grumbling, and be fighting every driver, and nobody will come to watch him. They say good market sells itself. I pray that God will make us good market. You can't go and be confronting the authorities where you walk and expect God to bless you. That is called rebellion. You don't do that. Let me beg you people, please. Don't get into rebellion. It's a mark of demonic motivation. There is no rebellion with Christ. The Bible says he made himself of no reputation. He said the marks on him, he left it with God. He never, never one day spoke back. All this being rebellious against authority, that's not what God told us to do. You will never justify it before God. It's not going to happen. Everywhere is quiet. I think I hit this song. Praise the Lord. See what the Bible said.
God knows how to deliver the righteous from what? All their troubles. I wish I can tell you about my wife, what they did to her in her job, how they were abused, insulted, threatened to sack her and everything. I wish I had time to tell you the divine intervention that brought those women to this church and brought her boss to the women's conference. You need to win the soul. If God will find somebody who will make himself of no reputation, there's a power in you that can take charge of everything. Oh, somebody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. I mean, somebody wants to fire you and he calls you and said, this is my life's problem. I followed you to your church and sat here. And sat here. Somebody who for a long time we write all my negative things and call you to sign. You are not worthy to be here. You are so slow. You don't know this. Sign, we're firing you. The same person later on will follow you to your church and sit down here and say, you are now my spiritual mother. Come on, talk to me. This has to be the power of God at work. Supposing she went there, everyone said, hey, see what they did to me. See what they did to me. Complain, complain. Mama, God won't bless you. If you should know God enough to trust him enough with every situation that the Lord you serve will not let you disappointed. Can I hear amen?
Amen.
Then I want to finally talk about people who will not be faithful. If you are not faithful in the little, God won't give you much. You see, the work we do, you need to be very, very faithful in it. Very, very faithful in it. Extremely faithful in it. See, you know why God blessed Joseph in the house of Potiphar? He was a very faithful man. And Joseph was a very committed man. That when he had the privilege to steal the man's wife, he said, I won't do that. I will not do that. I need to be faithful to my master. And because of that, God prospered. He found, he said, a faithful man who can find. The man was faithful. He said to the woman, he said, in this house, this man has committed everything to my house, except you. He said, I don't want to hurt him. So I'm not even talking of Potiphar's wife. Sometimes you steal time. Time you use to walk, you use it for another thing. That's stealing. Don't read Bible when you're supposed to be walking. If they bring the report to me, I will tell them to fire you. You should let your year be what? If you say, I'm working for you from 9 to 3, they have that your time. Use it to serve them. After that, find another time to read your Bible. That's being unfaithful. God does not bless unfaithfulness. Let's call it a spade a spade. So Joseph was so faithful. And Bible talks of Moses that he was so faithful. And God blessed him. And Moses was also very meek. Look at Genesis 39. No, we won't read Genesis 39. I want to talk about James 4:3. James chapter 4:3. And even when you ask, you don't get it. Why? Because your motives are all wrong. Why? You want only what will give you pleasure. Some people think that God will give them money, so they do what will give them pleasure. No, you will do what will give you displeasure. Because it's the will of God. When you are stingy and you are self-focused, you are focused on yourself alone, God will not finance those things. He said, when you ask, even when you ask, you don't get it. God doesn't respond because your motives are all wrong. You want only what will give you pleasure. Stingy people, even dogs avoid them. Stingy. Yeah. Because it is the way that seemeth right into in the what? Eyes of men. But the end of it is death. Stinginess seems right. Because that's the way you make money. by being stingy in the world, but in the kingdom of God, you make it by giving. It's the reverse. It's the reverse. And you can't give unless you know God enough to trust him. And you give. Praise the Lord. This one is Lulu. I didn't say it. I said praise the Lord. Stinginess. Stingy. I was sharing with them what is happening to our finances in the church. When the Lord spoke to me, he said, all the people you give money, he said, how do you expect me to bless your church? You've been giving them the same thing for the past 5 years. He said, how do you get increase in the same seed? I said, really? He said, yes. He said, if you want me to bless the church, he said, I want you to increase what you give to missionaries, all these pastors in the villages. A story that came to us, one of the pastors, few people give money every month, had stroke. No source of income except what we send him. Stroke. And the pastor went with your money to give him. Saw this man and the family started crying. Called me. He said, God will bless that church. He said, do you know I walked in there? I started to weep myself. He said, is this what your people do? And God said, increase it. And then we increased it. Praise the Lord. And then the income of the church jumped up. I asked a man, we shared it yesterday. He said, see for yourself. Have I ever had me come here begging you for money? Because God supplies the need of his people. Can I hear amen? The income of this church came, boom, 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 boom. No effort. When it comes to finances, it doesn't take effort. All it takes is don't walk in the wisdom of men. Walk in the wisdom of God. And then he said, these things will pursue you. And do what? Overtake. If you are pursuing them, you have problem. It's not divine plan for you to pursue them. It is divine plan for you to pursue God. And then all these things will pursue you. And overtake you. Praise the Lord. I didn't hear a big one. I said praise the Lord. So we cannot afford to walk in the wisdom of men. Those things that look, they seem right in the eyes of men. That's not the way you get it done. Yes, the prodigal son said, in my father's house, I have so. But when he was walking in the wisdom of men, he lost everything. But when he came back to his senses, guess what he did? He went back to the same thing he rejected. He walked back to the father. And as he was walking by, the father came and said, the blessing is still yours. Can I tell you today, the blessing is still yours. Amen. But don't walk out again. Don't walk out again. If you've not been paying your tithe, pay. It's not even paying. Give God your tithe. You got to bring it. You got to pay it up. If you don't give God, give to God. You can't be that stingy to be stingy with your maker too. When it gets to that level, even the devil is envious of you. Because the devil will say, wow. Man, I've never seen this level of stinginess. Even to God, the devil will say, man, after service, he needs to teach me how he got here. I need to learn this. I've never seen a thing like this. Even to his God. Man, wow. Somebody knows better than I do. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Do you know that three banks, four, each of them said the same thing? When we were trying to refinance, I went to three banks. Each of them called us and said, do you do fundraiser? Fundraiser. And still I said to them, that pastor doesn't know what fundraiser is. So then how come this amount of money came to this congregation that is this in number and you don't have millionaires among you? How did you do that? It wasn't one bank. It wasn't two. Each of them had the same thing. And brethren, listen to this. When we got to the fourth bank, which is the loans fund of Foursquare, the board of Foursquare called us and said, we read the report of your church. There was excitement at the board meeting. And they began to send people to come and find out from me what we're doing. They sent people with camera here. They were interviewing people. They interviewed your daughter. How many of you did they interview? They interviewed your daughter. Where is your daughter? Is she here? Yeah, they interviewed you, right? Sitting here. They stayed 2 days trying to find out what is happening. Nothing is happening here. I told them, I said, I'm foolish enough not to do my own way. I know I'm stupid. So I just trust him. Whatever he says to do, he owns this church. As I came, I will leave this church with him. I can't supply the need of this church. I can't even supply my own need. So I'm stupid to take over my life. It's only wisdom to let him take over your life. So if he says give, what do? You just give. Play the fool. And God will lift you up. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. And as fathers today, let me plead with us fathers. If you are a father, say amen.
Amen.
To finish, I want to talk to us briefly. I want to plead to us. There is no wisdom in being domineering. There is no wisdom in being domineering. It is stupidity. If you want God to bless you, you got to be humble. Look, I studied on humility. I found that God doesn't joke with humble people. But the proud, he will resist every day. Because they're competing with him. You must love your wife passionately. You must be so humble and understand you are not God. You can be wrong. You are not perfect. Amen?
Amen.
You are not perfect. So if your wife says something, listen now. Sometimes I make the mistake too. I run into trouble. I do. I'm like you. That's why I learn. I learn from wahala. And when the wahala comes, I go back. And the Lord said to me, you carry cough to church. You know why? I said, no. So you did things to your wife. That's why the cough will go. I said, really? He said, yeah. He said, you need to change the way you talk to her. Yeah. I was in doubt. I said, Lord, your mercy is all I need. And when I came and sat down, I stretched my hand little. You know how you come back, prodigal son? I'm pastoring you people. I'm telling you the truth. I lie not. Humble yourself. God will what? Lift you up. That's all. Divine promotion costs you nothing. All it takes is do what? Humble yourself. God is looking for people who are lowly in spirit. That's what Jesus taught us. He said, learn of me, for I am what? Meek and lowly. I'm done. Today is Father's Day. I want Pastor to come and take over from me.
You have just listened or viewed another teaching from the Orange Foursquare Church family. Please visit http://store.ftlw.org where you can listen to other teachings freely, or you can purchase and download MP3s. Thanks and remain blessed.